driven by Briggs Auto Lane.
Let's have some fun. Let's go.
And BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Back for hour two of the game, John, Tyler, Mitch, all with you here. Jabroni of the Week coming up at 5:50. We'll get to Elijah Lee here in just a moment in the opening segment of the hour. As always, you can tweet us, the game KMAN, or 537-1350. Later on in the hour, the phone number to call. Perhaps should not have teased you there with that. But I've been looking forward to getting a chance to catch up with Elijah Lee. This has been in the works for a long time. Going back to when he was drafted in the seventh round, we had that discussion. I felt pretty strongly that we don't know yet whether or not it was a mistake to leave early. And in fact, this landing spot with the Vikings seems to be something that is working out very well for Elijah Lee based on the information that that we get out of there. There's playing time available. But really, to set the stage here for the interview, I wanted to get into that and give him a chance to defend that decision to K-State fans and whatnot. But I was surprised with how much he opened up. So with NFL guys, a lot of times you got to work around their schedules. We had to tape this one earlier today. But throughout his time in Manhattan, Elijah Lee was pretty careful and guarded with what he would say to us. I can remember talking to him as a freshman after he got on the field in 2014 in that Stephen F. Austin game, and everybody was like, where did this come from? We did not expect him to be the one that's out there. And, man, it was like two-word answers all the time. You couldn't get hardly anything out of him. He got better and better as it went along, as most of them do, as they roll through the program. But still, it seems like he has become more comfortable and just more relaxed and at ease with that type of stuff, the media stuff, now that he is outside of the K-State program. That's the observation I have. And I remember saying the same thing about Tyler Lockett, too, when we talked to him after he got drafted.
I think that part of the reason that there were comparisons between Elijah Lee and Arthur Brown so early in Lee's career is because of how he was with the media, because you were looking at him as a linebacker that was extremely athletic and had the capability of making such big plays, and then he gets into the interview room and it's like he's the smallest guy in the room. You know, he did not want to talk at all. So I think that that's where some of the comparisons came into play, and really the only difference as far as their career paths are concerned are what happened when they got to the NFL draft, because Arthur Brown was taken, you know, pretty early on, and Elijah Lee had to wait a lot longer.
Well, without further ado, here is Elijah Lee. He is a guy who now not only is with the Vikings, but he has signed a contract. He's had a chance to take in some of that money that he wanted to make sure he kicked back to his family, which was the primary reason, if you ask him, for going pro early. But definitely thinks that it feels good to have that all behind him and not have to worry about signing that contract anymore.
Well, you know, it feels good. I had a purpose coming in to help take care of my family, and I was able to do that once I signed. So, you know, now I'm in a position just fight to make the team and, you know, just go from there. But that was the first and foremost, just to help out my family.
Looking back on it now, would you do anything different with how everything turned out?
No, because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm able to help out my family. And, you know, family comes first for me, you know, and they play a lot of important decisions in my roles and what I do and stuff like that. So, you know, I can always go back and say shoulda, coulda, woulda, but then at the end of the day, you never know how it plays out because nobody knows how it will play out in the end.
One of the things, and talking with Elijah Lee, by the way, here on the game, one of the things I always think about with the draft, I always just feel so bad for guys that do drop, and I can't imagine what it's like to sit there waiting for your name to be called. Take me through what just the last day of the NFL draft was like for you waiting for that call.
You know, it was tough just because, you know, I thought I was supposed to go to a place, but it didn't end up happening like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just blessed to have this opportunity to get a foot in the door, you know, have a chance to make a name for myself. So that's all I really hoped for was opportunity, because that's what you can ask for at the end of the day, because not everybody makes it. So at the end of the day, I really don't regret my decision or anything, the decision I made throughout the process or anything like that.
Well, it seems like you have, just from the outside looking in, landed in a pretty good spot. You know, there's a good opportunity for some playing time. I guess, how do you view what the opportunity is there for you in year one?
I think there's a big opportunity. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about working hard. And at the end of the day, you know, God knows what's going to happen, right? And put you in the right position. So I feel like he put me in the right position to have an opportunity come out and make a little bit of noise. But, you know, it always starts out on special teams. That's how I started out at K-State, so it's nothing new to me.
Elijah Lee talking with me here on the game. How have adjustments been going? I know you've had rookie minicamp, now OTAs. Where do you feel like all that's at right now?
The adjustment? The biggest adjustment is, you know, everybody's fast and everybody's big and strong. So you have to find that advantage, you know, to separate you from the rest as far as, you know, knowing the playbook, knowing where you're supposed to be, and, you know, really get into the film. And, you know, now it's a job. So that's what you do all day. You don't have to worry about schoolwork or anything like that. You just focus on your job in the playbook. And, I mean, you have to put countless hours into the playbook just so you know the next day what the new installment is or what you're supposed to be doing that next day.
What's been the coolest part of playing in the NFL so far?
The coolest part, probably for me, you know, coming from K-State, being able to wear whatever I want, not having to tuck in my shirt, you know, and just going about that part, you know, being your own person inside of your jersey, you know, because now that he had us, not that it was a bad thing, but, you know, we all look the same and, you know, we all dress the same, but now at this level, you create your own personality. You create who you are.
What was it? You can't wear, there's like no hats. What else are some of the restrictions there? Can't wear red? Is that still there?
Yeah, you know, Coach Snyder's big on don't wear red in the building. But no earrings, no hat, no stuff like that. You know, it's just a little thing. You know, you come up, you see it on TV, and then you get to college, and it's like you can't do it, but which makes you appreciate it because, you know, at the end of the day, you're disciplined and you know what's expected and how to be professional.
Elijah Lee talking with me here. Speaking of playing at K-State, there's a couple K-State guys on the Vikings roster. Emmanuel Amira, a guy who I imagine you'd be competing with for playing time, and Terrence Newman, who's been around forever. Have you had a chance to connect with those guys?
Oh, yeah. I'm starting to build a really good relationship with them. They look out for me. I hang out with E-Man and T-New. I'm more with E-Man just because we're at the same position. You know, he helps me out with the playbook. Whatever questions I have, he's there. It's actually funny. I call them two Big Cat, and they call me Little Cat. So
There you go. Did they share in the stories about not being able to wear what you want in the complex with you?
Oh, yeah. You know, it goes all the way back to when T-New was there in 98. And he said Coach Snyder hasn't changed a bit.
Talking with Elijah Lee here on the game. Jordan Willis, your teammate, goes to the Cincinnati Bengals in the third round. How much have you had a chance to talk with him since he's gotten everything going there?
You know, I haven't really gotten to talk to him a lot, you know, just because I know what he's going through and what I'm going through. It's kind of hard to have an outside life right now. You know, you're a rookie. You have to learn everything. You have to get caught up to what the vets have been doing a couple months before you. So, you know, you're really into the playbook, and you don't want to be that guy that slows everybody down. So, you know, I've really – my outside life, I have a little bit, but I'm not too worried about my social life. You know, this is what I'm worried about, you know, maybe down the road. And once we get our break here in a couple weeks, I'll have more of a social life and I'll catch up with everybody. But right now I know everybody's trying to go out and fight for a job.
How much more complicated is the playbook and everything that you're trying to learn at this level than it was at K-State?
Oh, man, it's a lot different, no matter what school you came from. You know, we had different types of checks and stuff like that at K-State, but, you know, in the NFL or in the league, you know, it's on like a steroid compared to the college playbook. You know, you're supposed to know what the guy next to you doing, the guy behind you, and what the front's doing in front of you. And plus, you want to know what the offense is doing because you can't just guess or else you'll be in the wrong position.
Well, Elijah, before I let you go, I got a quick couple of fun questions for you here. One is that, speaking of Jordan Willis, when I talked to him, I think it was a couple weeks ago, I asked him who the biggest trash talkers were that he played with, and he listed you off as one of the names of the biggest trash talkers on the team. Is that accurate?
Oh, yeah. You know, once I make a name for myself, I'm more confident in myself. I like to talk, you know, get the team going. And, you know, that's how I play. It just brings more fun into the game. You don't like a silent practice, so, you know, sometimes I talk trash and then Coach Snyder get on to me. And I think it was whenever I was younger, he said, son, you can't talk like that until you make some plays. And once I started making plays, you know, I felt like I earned that right. So, you know, just carrying on, you know. I wouldn't say I was the biggest one. I think Dante Barnett was the biggest one. Sometimes Coach had to tell him to be quiet, and, you know, Dante – would still talk, and it would be funny. So, you know, just blending in with them, Deontay Burton, and stuff like that.
Yeah, Terrell Johnson was another name that I got, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Terrell might be worse than Deontay or Dante.
The other thing, along those same lines, ESPN came out with a list the other day of the funniest guy on each team in the top 25 for their 2017 top 25. Anyway, for K-State, they listed Justin Hughes. Would you agree with that?
Yes, that's true. We call him J-Ball. He's always talking. Believe it or not, if you have the opportunity to interview him, ask him who's the best shooter on the team, and he'll say himself. I've never seen somebody that shoots a jump shot with two hands and claim they're the best shooter. They could go 1 for 4. No, I'm still the best shooter.
There you go. Well, who is the best overall basketball player on the team?
I say Jesse Ertz. I played against some good players, and he might have been one of the best.
Okay, there you go. Well, if you want to follow Elijah Lee on Twitter, it's E Lee Double Aces. I'm curious, what's the meaning behind E Lee Double Aces?
So in high school, I was number 11, right? And I was trying to think of clever names and stuff like that, and I didn't want to just go with Ely underscore 11. So, you know, the double aces is double one.
Okay, there we go. I figured that might be it, but I wasn't 100% sure. I appreciate the insight there.
Some people get it confused with double aces. No, it's Ely double ace.
Okay, good. I'm glad that we got to the bottom of all that. Elijah, really appreciate the time, man. Best of luck in the NFL. I'm looking forward to watching you, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you down the line.
No problem. Thank you.
All right, there's Elijah Lee. It is, just for the record, at Elie underscore double ace now on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I would see it, I always thought, is it double aces, double aces? And finally I looked at it real hard. I was like, that's got to be Elie double aces. But I appreciated how candid he was with everything there, man. It just sounded completely different than every time we talked to him when he was here at K-State. Good stories there.
I just want to watch Jesse Ertz play basketball.
Yeah, there have been a lot of reports of him being a really good basketball player. I think I had some water in my mouth. I was taking a drink when I asked him what's the coolest thing about being in the NFL now. I just about spit it out when he said not having to tuck in my shirt. That was funny. Enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed that as well. Jabroni of the Week coming up at 5:50. We'll get back into the conversation about what stakes does it take to get you to watch obscure sports. I'll tell you, there's one sport that I think a lot of people like quite a bit that I don't think there are stakes high enough to get me to watch. I'll tell you what it is on the other side here on The Game.